Hey guys, it is me, Shatanya Ami. I know it's been a while, but I'm back. And I'm back to share my tools on a pursuit to happiness. I'm here with the beautiful singer-songwriter MJ, and she is going to be here today talking with us about her journey, about her musical talents, her songwriting, her being a mother and a wife, and all a bunch of other stuff. So, MJ, take it away.
Thank you so much, Shatanya, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And yeah, I go by the name of MJ, or M. Josephine is my artist name. And it is part of my government name,
Right, that's your
so
government name.
M.
Yes.
Josephine. And Jersey City born and raised,
Okay.
singer-songwriter. Started singing since the age of probably 5 years old. And I've just been, it's kind of evolved from here. And it actually started with the roots of like hip hop. I loved hip hop, and then I started singing over hip hop beats, and then it became soulful, and then it became R&B. And yeah, now just a mom, a wife, and creative, sort of just going with the flow of like what feels good for me and what I feel called to do as an artist.
And that's funny because it gets into kind of like the question that I had for you. Like, when did you know that you could sing, and when did you start singing? And 5 years old, that must have been so adorable.
Thank
That must have
It's
been.
so funny because I've always been short.
Yeah,
Okay,
that's what
like
I'm thinking. And your voice is
I'm
powerful. Like, so it's like a powerhouse coming from this little bitty thing. So like, I know that would have to be the most adorable thing. Like this.
is funny, no, and I thank you for that. I thank you. When I was five, like I would just I don't know what it was, maybe too much Little Mermaid, the Annie movie. I would just watch it over and over and over. And I know that music runs in the family as well, like on my father's side, as well as my mom. So I was in kindergarten, and my mom was called to meet with my choir teacher at the principal's office. And they thought that I was in trouble for
Right, going
something.
to
They're
the
like,
principal's office.
yeah, like, why are they calling?
What would she
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I didn't know what to expect either. And it was just such a very blurry time because I was so young. But she would just be like, your daughter could sing, right? Like, did you not know this? Because my mom was just very busy trying to do everything to make ends meet as far as these like multi-level marketing companies, and very, I would say, fixated on how can I get the next paycheck.
Right, no, I get that. I understand
Yeah,
that.
so I don't think she really realized it until that moment. And then once she knew that, it was like, oh, we're taking you to senior citizen parties. You're gonna go sing for these Filipino parties. And it became something that she obviously wanted to nurture, and make sure that I did more of it. And
That's sweet.
so
That's
that was
sweet.
the first time that they found out.
Oh, that you can sing. That's sweet. It's funny because another question that I always usually start off when I ask, when I do my interviews, is I always want to know, describe little Josephine. What was little Josephine like? Just her observing the world, like sitting in her room playing with her dolls, like just take us through a not a day in the life, but the little life story of Josephine. Like, who were you as a little girl?
Wow, I definitely had a big head. And meaning like physically, my body was so little. Like, who I was as a little girl, I would say that I still had a big heart. And because of my experiences growing up in, with relation to like poverty, and just struggling, and being able to make ends meet, and knowing that I was different from my classmates in terms of like what they had, or the presence of a parent or two parents, things of that nature. I would say little Josephine just tried to be as warm and friendly no matter what, right? And try to make a positive out of a negative. I think that's always been who I've been. And friendly, you know, a little bossy at times, especially to the older ones, because my brother, he's actually 12 years older than me. Oh, so boy. He's always been a father figure in my life. So whenever his boys would like come to the front yard or the front door, like I would always try to like, what? You know, I'm looking up to you, but I'm still big inside. So I think I always had just being a brave person, not being afraid.
That's good.
And I think a lot of us are just not afraid when we're young.
When you know, when you're a little kid, you don't have all those hang-ups and inhibitions. As it's like life starts beating us down and kind of making us scared to do things, and then like the parental units or whatever, or teachers kind of project those fears onto us, because children, we are fearless. Like we will jump off out of a tree and not even thinking like, oh, I'm going to break my leg. We're just fearless, and we speak up, and until people start stifling that part of us. So I love that. And how many siblings do you have?
It's just my brother and I.
Oh, and you have such a huge gap. So your mother wasn't planning on having another one.
No.
I was a oops too.
She wasn't planning.
I was a oops too, because my mother had me at 41 and my oldest, right. So she had me very late in life, and the smallest but biggest gap between me and my siblings is 9 years. And my older sister, my mother had when she was 18. So you already know that's a huge gap. My niece is older than me. So like,
wow.
So I was like, yeah, we have a huge gap. Like, so my mother was definitely not planning on me popping up talking about, hey, but that's so sweet. No, I love that. So little Josephine still sounds like big Josephine, because sweet and, you know, just nice. And yeah, so that's what I got when I first met you. Just such a great vibe, such a great energy, very sweet and nice. And I was like, I like her.
Thank you.
So it was a click as soon as we met. So I
felt that as way too. I felt like there was a very mutual and also like warm, friendly energy between us, you know. So, and yeah, I definitely felt that click.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad.
Yeah.
See, my thing just keeps acting up. Okay, so my next question. So you kind of touched on another part of, like, you know, your child, describing your childhood and who you were, and when you discovered your voice and honestly, like your teachers. So your mother was a single mother?
She was a single mom.
Okay. Yeah. So in discovering, so when was the first time you was able to sing in front of a crowd? Like, I know people heard you singing and they brought it to you, but you mentioned that your mother had you to go to the senior citizen center. That's funny, because I used to sing at the senior citizen center too.
Look at that.
So, okay, so I used to sing.
Oh my god!
But like when they say when you don't use it, you lose it. Oh yeah, that's so true. Because I was in like the little, like my first time that the teacher discovered that I could sing was in sixth grade. And I did the play The Wiz, and I was Dorothy.
Wow.
So I had to audition and sing. So I was Dorothy, and I'm like, and my teacher was like, she could sing and she could dance. And I'm like, oh, okay.
That's great. Yeah, you still play the main character.
Yes, I had the lead.
Wow.
So I was really excited about that. And so I would travel. They realized that I was troubled. Mm. Like, because, you know, like I had mentioned to you before, like I went through, and my listeners know, I went through a crazy childhood. So they could kind of see like, okay, this child needs an outlet. Mm-hmm. So what the outlet was, they sent me to play in the band. So I would go and sing, and we went to nursing homes and sung, and then we sung at St. John's University and stuff like that. So that was my whole little thing, my little thing of singing. But I do cannot touch you in the singing department. I
think we all have our own like individual, you know, like even though an artist, one of them that I love, she can't reach similar notes to a Mariah Carey.
Right.
But I think in her own right, she's just as amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it just depends on like the style, unique voice, and the flavor that you bring to the music.
That's true. And like, I guess too, like training it and getting back, because like I just wasn't trained in my voice, and it was just something I did around the house. And like after I stopped doing it in school, like just no more, just didn't do it. But back to you, because it's not about me. So, because I know I tend to take over conversations sometimes. So back to you, what was your first performance that wasn't in front of, like, professional performance or that wasn't in front of your family?
I would say, I mean, would you call the senior citizen party?
Yeah, okay. That was your first.
So
yeah.
I would say 9 years old.
Oh.
Yeah,
nine.
Somewhere between 7 and 9. I can't remember exactly. I just know that I have a picture from when I was 9.
Okay.
But there were probably other times before that that we don't have a document of.
Right.
So.
Duke. Yeah. I know it's a long time ago, but do you remember what you would sing? Like what songs would you
sing? Listen, my mom was obsessed with Whitney Houston.
Oh.
All the time. So it was either Whitney Houston or like Celine Dion. But I don't think I touched Celine Dion too much.
Right. those were big shoes.
Those were really big shoes. Yeah. But yeah, it was mostly Whitney Houston.
Okay.
And I forgot the name of the group, but it's the song Wishing on a Star.
I don't remember who makes that song either. But I know you talk about okay, I love that. So and so you performed there, and I'm sorry, I'm rambling.
No, that's fine.
So my next question is, when did you start your spiritual journey? Like, because, you know, I definitely want to get back into your singing and songwriting. Well, no. Mm-hmm. When did you realize that you can write as a writer? Because, you know, you start singing. Some people just sing. But when did you discover your talent for writing?
Wow. So funny enough, it's when I was working with Qua.
Okay.
And I was 16.
Oh, you was working with Qua since 16?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was 16, and he produced a song, a beat.
Really?
With pianos, and I think her name was Kia. There was another songwriter, part of the project, but she wrote it.
Okay.
But then, like, I remember getting to know the song that she wrote. Mm-hmm. And I would, like, think in my head, oh, but it would sound cool, too, like this.
Right, right.
So in my mind, I was sort of, like, songwriting, but not actually putting my lyrics into the song.
Right.
And then maybe even, like, an ad-lib, or the way that an ad-lib goes, or creating an ad-lib. Like, that's part of songwriting, too.
Right, exactly.
So I would say 16. And, wow, no, I did write that song. What am I thinking? No, I did write that song at 16. I'm thinking of a different song. See, that time is just so blurry.
Mm-hmm.
And but it was beautiful because it was like this self-discovery of, oh my gosh, I did this.
Yes.
You know, like, who thought that I would have done this?
That's so empowering.
And yeah, so I recorded it.
Okay.
I listened back to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, I sound different. I sound like bassier in tone, like, because when I talk, I sound like Minnie Mouse.
Right, yeah.
Or, you know, whatever.
That's what happens.
High pitch.
Most people who sing have really strange voices. Like, my voice is a little funny. And, like, most people, like, either they can't hear me.
In a good way. In a good way.
Okay, thank you, buddy. In a good way. I was, like, squeaky a little. But, you know, most people say they can't hear me. But, like, Fantasia, her voice is, I mean, the epitome of it is Michelle A. Like, her voice, and then when it comes out, it's just powerful.
Yeah. There's something about that, right?
Yeah.
It makes it special.
Yeah. I love that.
So that was the moment that I was, you know, I was talking about a heartbreak song. Like, tell me what I need to do to get through to you. I'm like,
at 16,
what do I know
about
at 16?
A heartbreak.
Exactly. I'm like, what do I really know about love and heartbreak at this time? But, you know, when you're young,
you
just want to pour your heart, like,
yes.
Or if you don't know, you're just imagining and envisioning this, like, emphasized version of your story.
Right. No, that's so
it becomes a little bit of, like, reality and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, we got to use these lyrics because these lyrics will really be bomb. You know, like, but yeah, that was the time.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are listening, because she mentioned Qua, and I was like, oh my god, Qua. Kwa is actually the owner of K-Vibe Studio, where we're actually recording at right now. This is where we're recording this podcast at. And it's so good because most of you guys don't know, I'm usually recording at home in my bedroom on the phone or whatever. And now we are in an official podcast room with an engineer, Mr. Joe Nunez. Yeah, I can't see him, but he gave us the peace sign. So we are moving up in this world with the podcast.
Official.
We are official tissue right now. So that is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing. I love that. Like, and I love the fact that you found your passions so early on. Like, you know, as a little girl, just singing and hearing you, and then traveling around, your mother like nurturing that gift and not saying, oh, she ain't got time to sing. Because, you know, there's some parents that, you know, don't nurture your gifts, but nurturing your gifts and then getting your feet wet at 16 and writing you a song and recording it. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So moving past that and coming into, you know, a different space, because our connection became with our spirituality and just living a more peaceful, positive life. So when did that journey start for you, and what did that look like? What was going on during that time that made you have that shift? Or did you grow up like that? Or mm-hmm. did you grow up under a certain religion and then you just decided? Mm-hmm. Like, what does that look like?
Well, I was writing because I felt a lot of internal turmoil, I would say, for lack of a better word.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it's not that my mom wasn't nurturing the musical talent, mm-hmm. but in her way, you know, she appreciated it, and she loved it,
right.
and she would push for it. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't necessarily say it was the right way.
Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
And the disconnect, the mm-hmm. emotional disconnect.
Right.
There's definitely a mother wound, mm-hmm. you know, that I've grown to like, mm-hmm. To journey with,
yeah.
and have to figure out.
Yeah.
So I would say music being an escape mm-hmm. and being a form of release
right.
and just being a way of like being able to process
right.
and
right.
transmute what I'm going through.
Right.
Like, I didn't like feeling mm-hmm. These emotions. So I grew up without my dad. Right. I met him when I was 28.
Wow. Okay.
And growing up, it was just very confusing.
Right.
And I would just cry myself to sleep all the time.
Right.
And I would just feel like worthless. I would feel like, was I not worthy enough for you to just be in my life?
Right.
And also, I had to parent myself.
Right.
So yes, I had a mom, but it felt like I was a motherless child.
Yeah, I totally understand.
If that makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
And then having my father, my brother as the father figure,
right,
you know, but he's supposed to be the brother, not necessarily the father.
And he can't even be really step into the brother.
Right. He's only 12 years old.
Right. Wow.
So
it kind of robs him too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think that I've always felt that there needed to be a shift
mm-hmm.
where it's deeper.
Yeah.
You know, yes,
yeah.
it's for me, it's to heal me,
mm-hmm.
but there are other people who experience what I'm experiencing,
right.
whether it's coming from a broken home
mm-hmm.
or, you know, experiencing poverty and,
yeah.
and not feeling like, you know, like you have enough. And I remember growing up, and I love my family,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, my mom does have a mental illness,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think the family knew how to address that.
Oh my God,
right?
It's so crazy. My mother was bipolar too,
mm-hmm.
and I never found out until she passed away.
Oh,
so literally, we were dealing with this person, and we just thought, like, what the hell? Like,
yeah.
why is she like this? And not knowing that she actually had a mental health illness that was not diagnosed, that
mm-hmm.
did not, well, it was diagnosed, but they did nothing with it. She told just one person who told us in the end, and
mm-hmm.
like, why tell us now? Like,
yeah,
we could have helped.
Fact,
yeah,
right, exactly.
So no, sorry to cut you off, but I connect with that.
It's a very real thing. And I think it helps shape the fact that, you know, I found music, and I found it as a way to feel more of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I felt like this sense of relief
right.
and happy,
right.
peaceful.
Right.
So I just kept doing it for that. And
yeah.
so it felt like it was already there, mm-hmm. you know, this sort of like spiritual, mm-hmm. deeper connection where it's not just to look cute and mm-hmm. sing and, right. and sound cute, right? Right. There's more to it.
Right.
And so whenever I've performed, you know, I feel like there's a connection between myself and people in the audience. Mm-hmm. Like I'm literally looking at people.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm not, I feel like if my eyes are closed and I'm singing, like I'm still singing to that person,
right.
you know, and there's like something transformative that
that
happens.
Yeah.
And almost like you could feel the energy and the aura when your eyes are closed.
Oh my God.
So I would say that when I became more and more of an adult,
mm-hmm.
the more I adulted,
mm-hmm.
and then I was like, you know what? This is becoming more of just singing and music.
Mm-hmm.
It's becoming more therapeutic.
Yeah.
And I would say that happened around college.
Okay.
That was the time that Facebook by this time, and now I'm dating myself, Facebook in the past
right.
was only available to certain colleges and universities.
Oh, okay, okay.
In the very beginning.
Why? Oh, yeah, because it was set up for just people in college to
right.
connect. Wow.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that is a way back.
Yeah. And then I was like, I think I was just bored one day.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Let me see if I could like look up my father's last name.
Oh, wow.
Just to see what happens, because
yeah.
I didn't know the full story of everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're a kid, you know, like, okay, that's not exactly your business, but.
But can I speak
yeah.
on that? Why do families have so many secrets?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they feel that the children are not privy to certain information that involves them?
Mm-hmm.
Because I swear my whole childhood and my other siblings' childhood was nothing but secrets where, like, one of my sisters found out who her father was at 17. And
mm-hmm.
the other one,
mm-hmm.
she was a grown woman with kids and finally meeting her father. And my mother would never admit who her father was to the day she died.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I think it was more of a cultural thing.
Mm.
It was more of like, at least that's how I see it,
mm-hmm.
that my mom maybe didn't want to like fully disclose everything,
mm-hmm.
or maybe she didn't know how to, because she didn't know how to communicate, like,
right.
hey,
right.
you know, something fucked up happened,
right.
you know, and this is
right.
what happened,
right. yeah,
or maybe she felt shame
yeah.
for it, right?
Gotcha, mm-hmm.
and like she herself is dealing with her traumatic
right.
experiences,
mm-hmm.
and you know, maybe she wasn't brought up or shown how to like communicate.
Right. That is true.
You know what I'm
That's
saying?
True, yeah.
Because at a certain point and a certain level, I started like, I had to say, you know, my mom is my mom,
mm-hmm.
but she's doing her best with what she has.
Right.
And it may not have been the best for me
right.
all the time,
mm-hmm.
but at some point I can't just keep blaming.
Right,
and
right,
pointing
right.
and saying I'm a victim.
Right.
right. So I have
no,
to, I have to recognize that this person, this human,
mm-hmm.
has their own
flaws yeah.
and human experiences that
yeah.
makes them very complex.
Girl, that is how I made my amends with my mother to like step in. And I think it's when you go through life and you become an adult where you can actually step back and look at your parent as just a human being, because that's what I had to do. But my mother was already passed by that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to step back and see her as a human being. Look at her story, look at what she went through, look at her mental illness, and look at all these things. And I don't remember how old I was. I know I was in my 30s, but I went to, oh, like 2015. I went to her grave and just sat there like, I forgive you. Like, I forgive you, but forgive me too. So like, I had to have that whole closure thing. So I definitely relate to what you're saying when it's like, you made peace with, you know, this is, you know, you did the best you could do
yeah.
with what the tools that you had. So, and then that's the same for her. Like, she did what she could do with the tools that she was given, or,
right.
you know, how she knew how to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happened when you was looking for your father?
So when I searched his last name, so I already knew from my mom
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that he had two daughters.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and I was just curious mm-hmm. if one of them would pop up,
right.
and one did.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh, okay, so such and such last name. And I'm like, And then and then it shows you where they're from, what city they live in, mm-hmm. how old they are. And mm-hmm. I'm like, yep, this sounds like my sister.
Wow.
And as it turned out, she and I attended the same college.
Wow.
So she didn't know about me.
Yeah.
And we were actually around the same age because I'm only 9 months older than her.
Wow.
And
so he literally has some complicated things going on at that time.
Yeah. So when I reached out to her, I was like, hey, hi, my name is MJ. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know me, but I think your father is my father.
Wow.
And in the beginning, she was like, you don't really look like him. But I can find out, you know, if this is, you know, if this is in fact true, I can get more information.
That's nice.
And, you know, like a few days later, we were both at the same student center and I sat down and I saw her opposite to me. I'm like,
it's like a TV show.
I'm like, God, you're funny. You're funny right now. You are so funny.
It's like a Lifetime movie.
Yes. It really did feel like that. Honestly, if you guys need me to produce a show about this, I surely will. No, it really felt like that because I wasn't prepared.
Yeah.
I literally forced myself to move past those emotions and reach out on Facebook.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for that, but I said, you know what, to hell with it. Let me just do this.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I started healing that part of myself, my life.
Right.
And then when I saw her, we were, you know, just very courteous. Mm. Hey, how are you?
Right.
So good to see you and meet you in person.
Right.
And that became that. And so, yeah, that's what happened. And then we had dinner. Eventually graduated from college. I stayed in touch. She's actually also a singer, a very talented singer. And she sings a lot of like rock, alternative rock music.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful voice, beautiful voice. And I made the commitment to myself that I would be brave enough to at least reach out to her and try to start, you know, a relationship.
Right.
And it didn't have to be this very close relationship.
Right. But at least some acknowledgement. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed to get past it. So, so we had a lunch at her mom's place and my father wasn't there because they are separated.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was very healing to just even be in the space.
Mm-hmm.
So I met both sisters.
Okay.
And then I met their mom, and then she gave my father's phone number to my husband at the time and said, hey, if you ever need to call him, here's his number.
Wow.
And yeah, that's how that happened.
Wow.
And then as far as meeting him, my husband at the time, knowing that I take very little baby steps and it'll be years before I take another baby step.
Right.
He kind of just did cold turkey on me and
took
my phone, dialed the phone number, and I'm short. So he's just holding the phone up, right? And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm not ready to talk to him,
right?
I'm like, I need the phone. And then as soon as he gives me the phone, my father is on the phone.
Wow. Okay.
And so my father's on the phone and he's like, he has a very heavy Italian accent.
Like, hello.
Oh, boy. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Click.
That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to do that. But I was like, hi. I don't know what to say.
Right.
Hey. I was like, do you know who this is? You know? So one thing led to another, and you know, he felt and showed remorse, basically, on the call, the conversation. And we met in person. By that time, I already had my daughter. And I don't know, for me, I'm just, you could be Jay-Z, you could be Beyonce, I won't react.
Right.
So it was like this man that had to do with my life and brought me into this world.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really react. I was just very nonchalant, very calm.
Right.
Like, hi, how are you?
Right.
Like, yes, I had questions, burning questions inside
of course,
me. But I also felt like I was at a point in my life where I've already been so independent.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love my family. They've poured into me as much as they could, right? So I felt like I had that support already.
Right.
and I didn't feel broken where right. it's like, I need you to fix me or right. I need you in right. my life.
Right.
So I was just very calm mm-hmm. and I just wanted to meet him because mm-hmm. I always wondered,
right.
you know, who do I look like or
right.
whatever, you know?
Right.
And, wow. you know, having this, just like this identity and feeling like I belonged. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it really helped answer those questions. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's how we met. Now we just sort of mm-hmm. keep in touch, but
okay.
it's very, very touch and go, like
okay.
just, you know,
okay.
whenever, here and there.
Right, right. That's amazing. That's like, wow. And it's interesting because, like, you're the first person, like, I know people who have met their parents, you know, later on in life, but like that whole situation with your sister, and oh my God, like it literally is a Lifetime movie. But I'm like, I'm so glad that you guys, you yeah. and the sisters, was able to connect, because sometimes that riff is there, like, and it has nothing to do with the kids,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like that's the adult situation. The parents need
mm-hmm.
to just deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you guys was able to.
Yeah,
to
and I love
that.
Them, by the way. Like,
oh,
they, I really feel a little bit of myself in each of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, I'm a little bit of that, and I'm a little bit of that. Like, I can relate to both of them
yeah.
in so many ways.
I love that.
And we've really grown close,
yeah.
you know, as close as we can as
yeah.
adults, because when you're adults and you have responsibilities,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. things get in the way, distance and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I really love how we've been able to connect and get to know each other.
I love that. And how does your past and like with that whole situation affect you as a mother? Because you are a mother and you have two kids or
yeah,
two kids. Okay. So how does that affect you as a mother? You know, like with, is it kind of like, well, I'm going to make sure that my kids don't live that the life that I live, or they'll have those, you know, those insecurities and this, that, and the third, and making sure that the siblings have a great relationship. Like, how does motherhood look for you with all that, the foundation that you have come up with? Like,
mm-hmm.
how does that look?
Mm-hmm. I think that it's really started from the very beginning of feeling and saying, like, I'm going to make this commitment that I'm going to be everything that I needed.
Right.
And the things that I longed for, the conversations I longed
mm-hmm.
for, I was going to show up for my kids
yeah.
as much as I could.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, growing up with very little,
mm-hmm.
That, you know, does the complete opposite. I'm not saying I'm a millionaire and that
right.
I'm rich, but
right.
I have spoiled the kids.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Oh.
It's fortunately and unfortunately
right,
because
right.
the co-parents may not always agree to things,
right.
or we as co-parents may not be on the same
right.
page. But
I was going to ask you about that too, with co-parenting. How
yeah.
is that with the co-parenting?
Yeah. Right. So I would just say it's very intentional.
Okay.
It's very much looking at the inner of, you know, how can I be supportive?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about providing financially, right? But how can I be there emotionally
right.
to support you
mm-hmm.
and to allow you to speak and find your voice?
Yes,
so.
Yes. That's so needed. And I feel like that is a lot of what I missed out as a child, you know, not having a voice, not having an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And it affected me a lot in my adulthood, because that's a lot of, I'm still working that out. You know, speaking up for myself, or that's why I'm like, I'm always meditating, like clear my throat chakra, because
mm-hmm.
like not mm-hmm. one, not being able to speak up because it's so closed off, because you weren't allowed to speak, you didn't have any opinions, you know, no one asked you, well, how are you feeling, or
right.
how are you doing, or do you want to do this? So that's why I've always said in my head, when I have my children, I want them to be able to have a voice and
mm-hmm.
be able to speak and decide who they want to be in this world. And so do you express your spirituality and like with them too, like are they a part of that journey, or do you know they have to?
Definitely. I would say that I've been on a decolonization journey.
Okay.
And just really tapping more into my roots.
Okay.
Filipino ancestry
mm-hmm.
and really really going deep into that because my family is very Catholic.
Okay, okay.
Right. I grew up Catholic, so all of that has been a part of me. Mm-hmm. So now I'm just sort of just going back.
Right. Gotcha.
And I think I do incorporate it with the kids, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of, you know, prayer or right. how we meditate or right. when we talk about if you're not feeling well, let's talk about how we can make you feel better, right? Using, for example, acupressure points, mm-hmm. or using like meditation, that. Yoga. Yeah. We've done yoga as well.
I love that.
And what I'm still learning more about is things that my grandmother exposed me to, mm-hmm. which was her Filipino healing. Mm-hmm. There's something called hilot, mm-hmm. where you use your hand, and it's basically energy healing with your hand, mm-hmm. right? But there's a technique to it, mm-hmm. so that's kind of where I am and how mm-hmm. I would want to incorporate these things into their life,
right?
Right? Not to like be this practitioner, make money
right.
off of it,
right.
but just to be able to provide this. Hey, this is in your bloodline,
yeah,
and this is how you can tap into something that will help you,
right?
Right? Because you're healing your ancestors' traumas
right.
in your body. You're
right.
healing. You're going back. Like so many like
centuries,
generations
yeah.
of what's in your body.
Right.
And so that's how I incorporate it with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also like from what you eat and
yeah.
just how you're mindful of things.
Right. I love that. And like I had mentioned earlier that that's needed for children. I feel like I think if we can get them in the very beginning being mindful, teaching them their ancestry and knowing the power that they possess with as far as healing and things of that nature, I think that we're doing them a great service. And I love that you're bringing that into, you know, your kids' life and exposing them to that, because we can be so taught away from getting into what our real gems are
yeah.
with inside, like our
mm-hmm.
spirituality, like the power that we have, our ancestors, like all of that, because we get so caught up into what either a religion says that we need to be or society said we need to be, and really missing the point of how great this body is, this
yeah.
human being that we are, this soul that we are, and not tapping into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I wish that was something that I grew up knowing as a kid, but that's definitely something that I want to teach my children, like
mm-hmm.
tap into your power, getting to who you are and getting into your healing
mm-hmm.
and finding your happy space. Now, there's so many, you wear many, many hats. So I want to get into
mm-hmm.
that before we go, like speaking about a lot of your, like your organization that you have, but also you as a wife. I met your amazing husband, love him to death. He's so sweet and spiritual too. Like, we got to get him on the show next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so like speak about him a little.
Yeah.
And then I want to, you know, dive into what brought you to create your Inspired Artist movement.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I divorced once,
mm-hmm.
right? And I remarried. And I married, I would say, my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
We were friends for 9 years
mm-hmm.
before. And like, if you asked me
mm-hmm.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, whatever
yeah.
years ago
yeah.
that this would happen, I would be like, no.
Right.
So, and it's not to knock him.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been handsome.
Right.
But I just didn't like see that.
Right.
And I guess the universe and God works in mysterious
mm-hmm.
ways,
mm-hmm.
and they position people in your life for
yeah.
a reason.
Right.
And, you know, he and I got together
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, I don't know, it was a big thing because everybody was like, what's going on here?
Right,
you
right.
guys used to call each other bro and sis
right,
and
right.
here you are like, what is this picture? Why are you so close?
Right.
So he's been a part of my, I would say this, you know, exfoliated version of myself.
Aww, I love
journey.
It.
And he's pouring a lot of love into myself and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming, you know, just such an anchor in the family.
I love it. And you know what I love about you guys too is when you speak of him, you glow and you're so happy. And then when he speaks of you, he glows and he's so happy. And when y'all tell the story about, you know, you're meeting each other and your relationship, it's like you could see the love for on both of you. And you're not even together. Like you told me your story separate. He told me his story separate. And I just see the happiness that you guys just
the goofiness.
Yeah, it's like, and then I met her. She's my sister. I love it.
We definitely feel like we have such an incredible story. Mm-hmm. Because we were very close as friends, right. You know, and he was around the kids when they were young. So right. It just really blew me away that life would end up this way.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful.
I'm grateful
for him. He's such a big supporter. Mm-hmm. and, you know, he brings his life experiences to the table. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my lack of parenting skills due to my growing up and my childhood, I think, meets his, you know, so we try to do the best for the kids at the end of the day. And so, yeah, so I have three co-parents because the kids have, you know, their dad and their stepmom. Mm-hmm. And we all try to be on the same page. Yeah. We're all trying our best to make sure that the kids are the main focus and that, you know, we're making the best possible decisions for them. But yeah, that's one hat. So co-parent, wife, mom,
right? A graphic designer, and then your movement. So
yes.
Tell me about the Inspired Artist movement. Yeah, tell me definitely. About that.
So Inspired Artist Movement came about as a way for me to get to learn more about the music industry. Okay. I was a mom and I had landed my dream job after college, soon after college. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're like, you're a mom, like you have no time.
Yeah. No.
Like you're basically a cow.
Feeding.
You're trying to be there. Right. And you know, there's very little that you can do for yourself.
Right.
And yeah, like, you know, making sure you have the support system, whether they're family or not, you know, is important because then that makes sure that you can have time for yourself. Right. So it was my way of, I still want to do music. Mm-hmm. I don't want to let this completely go and say I give up because I'm a mom now.
Right.
So I'm like, and I can't go out to New York and go network with all these places. So let me try to bring them to me. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to create a safe space for folks like me who felt like they didn't know everything.
Right.
They needed support. They needed resources. Mm-hmm. They needed advice, technical assistance, everything, whatever it was.
Right.
And I just wanted folks to feel like it was inspiring. It was positive that they could leave there feeling like, okay, like there was a little more care and attention brought into this experience here.
Like a creative support group. I love that.
Some sort of creative support group.
Yeah.
And, you know, after working on music and after a girl group that I was in, I had met a producer. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that became a very bad experience. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just solidified why I am needed to exist.
Right.
And, you know, I went to his studio. He had all these plaques that he worked with Mariah Carey, like notable artists. Mm-hmm. But I was so young and naive.
Yeah.
And I was 18, but you would think at 18, like, you wouldn't be so naive, but I really was naive.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, asked me, what are you willing to do to learn about music?
See.
And to work on music.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I thought he was just trying to challenge me. Like, I'm dedicated.
Right.
I'm dedicated. I'm here. I'm dedicated. I'm showing up.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, take off your pants.
Mm-mm. See.
Mm-mm. But I did.
Oh, boy.
I took off my pants.
Oh, boy.
And that's what I'm saying. I was so naive. I thought you were just daring me to be challenging.
Yeah.
And but no, you're demeaning me.
Yeah.
You're demeaning who I am, and you're taking advantage of the situation.
Right.
Nothing happened from that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it felt like a really disgusting dare.
It is, yeah.
But I didn't want to meet people like that. I didn't want to meet people who were going to take advantage of the situation.
Right. Especially see a young girl and know that you are like dangling the carrot over her head, and that, you know, not to get into the Me Too movement, but that's basically what it is. And that's like what I mentioned during our interview of me getting out of this industry. Mm-hmm. And it's so toxic because I've had things like that happen to me, not to that extent, but basically just trying to pull clothes. Like, I'm going to pull clothes. Why am I being put in this man's office? Mm-hmm. And why is he asking me about my underwear? That has mm-hmm. nothing to do and asking me to show it to him. Mm-hmm. I'm here mm-hmm. to pull clothes. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do, or you're in the studio with producers because you want to style their artists, and now you're getting this indecent proposal to dress someone's artist. And it's just like, no, I'm not doing that just to be, you know, just to style somebody. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't have to do that just to sing.
And so, not just that, but he had a conversation mm-hmm. with my mom. He had a conversation with my brother.
Wow.
All right. You were entrusted.
Right. And you violated.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was just the experience that I said, okay, I have a daughter. Mm-hmm. I love music.
Yeah.
If either of us wanted to learn or to work on music, mm-hmm. I would want us to feel safe.
Yeah.
And that's really how Inspired Artist Movement came about.
You know, and I'm so glad that you did that. And thank you for sharing your story, because, you know, that was my first time publicly sharing my story about being sexually harassed, just trying to pull clothes and this, that, and third. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of times we keep these things to ourselves and we hold on to it and we feel shamed. But then it sparks something else in us to help try to protect people. I remember when I first started styling, and I used to work for different photographers, and they would have girls in the room, and these photographers are such perverts. And like, the girls are already in like swimsuits and furs and stuff. And then I remember it'd be a group of girls, and I would walk out, and then I'll come back, and then all of a sudden the girl has her bra off, and like, what the hell? Like, where's the shoe going?
Yeah.
And I'm like looking like, and then I remember going to fix the girl's clothes, and I'm like, did you ask to do this? And she was like, no, it's really weird. He asked me to take my bra off. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, she's finished. Let me get her out of here. Mm-hmm. And telling the girls, like, if you don't feel comfortable. So then it made me know, okay, I'm not leaving this room.
Yeah.
Like, I'm staying in here to make sure these girls are okay. And it made me start working with another friend of mine who had a model agency. And I started talking to the girls. This is what's acceptable. This is mm-hmm. what's not acceptable. This is what you don't have to do. Like, get in it, and it sparked something by seeing it. Like, okay, this is how we're going to prevent these situations and getting these girls out of these situations. Because a lot of times, like you said, naive, and you're thinking like, you know, okay, well, I don't know. Well, let me just do what it is I need to do. Like, that girl was sitting there shaking like a chicken mm-hmm. with naked because mm-hmm. this is what this perverted guy told her to do. Like, mm-hmm. it had nothing to do with that. We're selling furs. Mm-hmm. Why is she naked?
Right, right.
So it was just like, and it happened so much. And it was just like, I think I got to get out of this industry. Like, what's going on? Or make a safe place for them. So I'm so happy that you did that. You made this place where, you know, that people can come into, get information, share information, and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that. I love
Thank
that. You. And there's something else that you're working with, because I'm looking on your Instagram, and it's Network, or it's
Goddess Network.
Goddess Network.
Yeah.
So what's that?
So I've been offering, this just so happened to like land on my lap, where this priestess reached out to me, and I reached out to her initially because I wanted her to offer spiritual life coaching for single moms that I was working with.
Yes.
And this was just a passion project of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it stems from my experience growing up with a single mom and, you know, the mental health issues and the physical health issues that she's enduring or has endured because of her mental health. And so, you know, I like to feel like that is my purpose, is how can I help women who maybe not suffer as much, but just feel that type of like lack of support.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put together a photo shoot for single moms, Black Indigenous women of color.
Oh,
and you know, mystical healing guide. Mm-hmm. She's her name is Raja. She's mm-hmm. such an amazing spiritual healer, just amazing person overall, badass, like I would say. And she reached out to me after we worked on that project, and she said, hey, I need a virtual assistant.
Oh.
And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So it was just for me to find someone for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, let me try, because mm-hmm. I was laid off from my job after 10 and a half years of working there.
Wow.
And it was like me just starting from scratch, you know, and I was like, I know that I have to start from the beginning and at some point, right? So let me just start now.
Right.
So I offered my services to her, and, you know, we've been working together.
Mm-hmm.
I was her virtual assistant, and I do a lot of like collage work for her, graphic design, social media content. I offer marketing ideas for her so that she could promote what she's doing. I do her newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's, in a sense, what Goddess Network is. It's building,
mm-hmm.
it's being able to offer support to women like her
mm-hmm.
who are on a path to healing other women.
Right.
And if I can support her, she can continue to do her work.
Right,
and
right.
just think about her work,
right?
And completely make more impact.
Right.
And so that's how I see Goddess Network being. If I could now create more more women and add more women
mm-hmm.
to that roster,
right.
I feel like that's a network,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a network of women who are just gonna help empower other women.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's needed. I love that. And it's funny because, like, two things. It's funny how and it took a lot of me realizing this. I love how the universe will put us through so much what we would consider crap to bring these diamonds that make us to become who we are today. Like, we have to literally go through certain things in order to see where the help is needed
mm-hmm.
and to come in and inspire and help other people. And it's like, you know, the things that we went through is helping other people to not either have to go through it or helping them navigate through it. So
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like a lot of these things that we go through are gifts, they're hands-on experience, teachings of how to help the next person and how to get to the next thing. And then also with you, I felt like the universe blessed you with your own soothing, healing gift, which was your music and your voice. And it was able to get little Josephine through those rocky moments and then get, you know, you to blossom into this beautiful woman that's sitting here today. But it was like a self-soothing and a therapeutic thing that is your voice that's the universe gave you to actually help heal you. So I think that's a beautiful thing. And I'm so happy we got a chance to talk. I'm so happy that all the things you shared with me, and I'm hoping that this inspires other people. But before you go, I definitely would like for you to tell everybody where they can find you, where they can hear their music. I kind of want to let you sing a little so they can hear that beautiful voice that I keep talking about, too. So if you can hit a couple of notes right after you tell us where we find you.
Of course, I'd be happy to. I'm on Instagram as Soulfully Josephine and Inspired Artist Movement, as well as Goddess Network, but network is spelled NTWRK. And I'm available for if you want to book me for performances or if you need support with marketing or content creation or graphic design. I'm still a budding graphic designer, but mm-hmm. I know that part of this journey is being able to own our titles.
And we're all right. And we're always budding. We're always
exactly.
ever growing and learning and everything.
Yeah.
So. Hey, you are a graphic designer.
Exactly. It took me a while to say, okay, no, this is it. But yeah, I'm here. So if y'all want to do anything and connect, like, please feel free to reach out. Yeah.
Perfect. So Josephine is going to give us just a little taste of, just a little snippet of this beautiful voice that I keep talking about.
So this song is called Get Up, And it just talks about life experiences and how we can move forward and stand tall beyond our life experiences. So.
Yes.
When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. To all my people working hard and struggling night and day. You can't find peace, mind's too stressed, see the strength in a new day. You let your world get filled with so much cloud, so you fall down. But don't you know that strength in life can come from overcoming when life gets down? You go and get up when the struggle's hard. You go and get tough. Now best believe the fight's worth something. And no, it ain't for nothing. Go ahead and get up now. Go ahead and get up now. One more time now. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. Misused, abused, taken for granted like you ain't got rights. It's such a shame if you don't realize the value in your fight. Cause you could be the start of a new beginning. If you just use the power of will and mind, you'll find when life gets down, you go and get up. When the struggle's hard, you go and get tough. Now best believe the fight's worth something. And no, it ain't for nothing. Go ahead and get up now. Go ahead and get up now. One more time now. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. When I say get up, y'all say stand up, get up, get up. Get up, get up. When I say get up, get up, you say get up, get up.
Yay! Y'all better get up and stand up. I told you she had a powerful voice, and that was a cappella. Well, thank you again so much for being here and singing for us and sharing your story. I'm so excited. I know we got more stuff to do. This journey is not over with me and you, so I'm ready. Let's do this. Bye, guys. Thank you, Joe.